Hello everyone, welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode is a chat with Joe McAdam. Joe McAdam recently celebrated New Year's Eve in his home city, state, in his home place, the place where he grew up. And sometimes when you visit the place you grew up, you find some articles of clothing that you forgot existed. And that's what we talk about. It's time for some tuxedo talk with Joe McAdam. If you are in Washington, D.C. tonight on Friday, January 4th, please consider coming to the Wonderland Ballroom for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live. I'm very excited because Teen Mortgage will play. And Teen Mortgage had my favorite loud band set of 2018. They are a duo and they are quite loud and quite good. They are closing tonight's show. Besides them, there's a bunch of old favorites. Allison will be there. Haywood will be there. Kevin will be there. Kate will be there. Teen Mortgage. Come for Teen Mortgage. Stay for the tuxedo talk. Without further ado, here's some tuxedo talk with Joe McAdam.
I went back home for Christmas and to visit my folks, and I found my high school graduation tuxedo.
Hold on. Stop. Why did you have a high school graduation tuxedo?
I went to fancy high school. Ever heard of fancy high school?
Were you the only one that wore a tuxedo at your graduation?
I think it was I don't know about requirement, or if it was just like a suggestion. I don't know. I thought I would have rented one. I didn't. I don't know why I owned it. It seems insane. I've only worn it one time, and then I wore it again a couple nights ago.
What did you wear to your wedding?
I wore suit, just a regular old suit.
So in terms of what's a bigger event, what's a thing to get dressed up for? High school graduation comes above wedding.
Yes. I mean, if we're going by how we rank, suits, yeah. The high school graduation was more important than my wedding.
Did your wife know that you had a high school? Oh, your wife went to the same high school as you, right?
Not the same school, but we knew each other. Okay. Yeah.
Had she ever seen you in a tuxedo before?
I think she probably saw me when I graduated. So, but I mean, yeah, it was a rare sight. That's the truth, And wow. It was exciting, seeing a tuxedo in the house was just exciting for the whole household.
Were you the only
We've
one?
We've never
in
had
tuxedo?
A tuxedo in our apartment.
Were you the only one in a tuxedo?
No, I mean, I guess I don't know what technically qualifies as a tuxedo, but I think my friend Alex was wearing a tuxedo.
Okay.
I don't know if it counts. It was like a golden costumey looking tuxedo, but it was still probably a tuxedo.
Do you have a tuxedo shirt?
Yes, it was a tuxedo shirt. I did not have cufflinks or those little black buttons, though.
Hold on. So wait. You have a tuxedo, but you don't have cufflinks.
Well, my dad took them. My dad stole them.
You have one pair of shared McAdam cufflinks.
All right, so I go back. All right, I go back to visit my family, and there's two tuxedos in the closet. They were just both in my dad's closet, and I knew one of them was mine from my graduation.
Wait,
and I knew one of them was his.
Really quick, do your parents maintain your childhood bedroom?
No.
Okay.
They have grandkids, and the grandkids took it over.
That's nice.
Yeah. So that means all of my stuff was just moved out, and I guess they hung on to that old tuxedo. So that was just like shoved into my dad's closet.
Okay.
So I go back, and I'm looking through, and I'm like, hey, I kind of wanted to bring a tuxedo back. I thought it would be funny to just own a tuxedo. And so my dad's like, all right, I found a couple tuxedos. One of them was like his from – like some kind of black tie event or something that he went to. And so he's like, all right, I found them. And then, he's like, there's some cufflinks here too. And he was like trying to make it sound like these are probably from my suit, not for yours. And I was like, I don't know. Cause my suit was in a bag that said, Royal Knight on it. That was the tuxedo company. And the cufflinks were in a box that said that too. And I was like, I think those are mine. And he's like, no, I think these are mine. And I'm like, I'm not going to put up a fight about it. You want the cufflinks, feel free. So I didn't get them. I have to get some cufflinks now, so I'm on the look. I'll go to flea markets or something and try to find some old cufflinks with like little revolvers on them or something.
Okay, so I'm a maxinista, I'm a fashionista, and I have a lot of cufflinks. I probably have 2 or 3 dozen pair of cufflinks.
That's a lot. That's a very large amount of cufflinks.
I've bought all of them at flea markets or resale shops, and I've never spent more than, I think, $5 on a pair.
That's the way to do it. I'm going to get into that game, I think.
I also bought, when I first moved to Washington, D.C., and I got a job in an office, I bought way too many shirts that have French cuffs. And I never once wore them to work, but I had all of these shirts with French cuffs that require cufflinks, and I still wear them for all the talk shows I do. So I regularly wear out my cufflinks. Would you like me to send you some cufflinks?
I only would have the tuxedo to wear them with, I think.
See,
but
that's
the
thing. You could just buy French cuffed shirts. You don't need to wear tuxedo shirts. Tuxedo shirts usually look like garbage because the neck is weird. I don't like it, but I like a regular fancy man shirt with a French cuff.
Well, I'll tell you, that tuxedo is wildly unflattering to my body shape and to just every... It was a terrible look. Truly terrible look.
You're nearly 20 years from graduating from graduating high school. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Well, yes. Now that you mention it, probably yes. The fact that a $100 rental looking tuxedo doesn't look great on me now that I'm 34 as it did when I was 18, and it did not look good then either.
did everything fit?
It did, shockingly. Everything fit. That's a good sign. I'm not too much fatter than I was in high school.
Were you a thin kid in high school?
No, I was not I would say growing up as a little kid, I was a husky boy. And then I kind of, I stretched out a slightly into my high school body.
Wait,
and then I just
like,
after
sorry,
that.
Hold on, stop. You're the first person I ever heard that refer to, growing as stretching.
That is what happens. Your body gets a little bit longer, and then the fat kind of spreads out as you pull the body up.
But stretching implies that it will inevitably go back to its former shape.
And it has.
Okay.
We're back. I'm 4.5 feet tall again, just like when I was a kid.
Okay.
It's great.
So early parts of high school, you did some stretching. By the end of high school, you're at the height you are now?
Yeah, probably. I'm not super tall. I'm probably like 5.5 feet tall.
Do you like being that height?
No. Who wants to be that?
I don't know.
Who's picking that?
I wish I was one shoe size smaller and at the same height.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'2" if I stand up straight.
Yeah. Well, so okay, that's a good height.
Yeah, because I could still buy everything off the rack. And because America got so fat, I just still fit in everything. It's great.
Yeah. Look, okay, I can't buy pants at Target without having to get them taken in, hemmed on the legs.
Yeah.
I have 30-inch legs. They're ludicrous looking.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
It's insane.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's awful. I have to get my pants hemmed if I just buy jeans.
Ugh, your life.
Yeah, it's awful.
Well, hey, you're in LA. You could wear shorts year round.
I try to as much as possible. I'm going to take advantage of that nice benefit.
Do you think that if you were a taller person, you'd want to live in New York to show off your pant game?
Yeah, I'd want to show off my long legs, of course. Maybe I would move to Tokyo. I don't know.
Oh, why Tokyo?
I would stretch out my long legs. I don't know. I'm just trying to think international. Why not go to Paris? Let's stretch out my long legs. I'm going worldwide with these things.
I really want you to have a travel show called Stretching Out My Long Legs.
It's just me strutting around foreign cities.
Shot from the
what
ground
do you think,
up.
What do you think, boys? People are just like, wow, check out those long legs. This is my fantasy TV show.
Poorly tailored pants. So I'm assuming when you graduated high school, your fancy high school, I apologize, your fancy high school and your fancy tuxedo, that the suit did not fit properly.
I don't remember. I think there's like one photo of me wearing it from high school, and I don't recall it being like standing out that it looks like shit, but it probably didn't fit me great.
Okay, but I'm not a parent of a high school kid that graduated in the aughts, but I'm going to venture to guess that your mom or dad went to the tuxedo store with you to buy this thing?
I don't recall. I might have just gone with like my friend.
So you and your friends went tuxedo shopping as an 18-year-old group of fellas in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think we were out on the prowl looking for tuxes. I don't really remember the actual purchase of it, but that sounds about right.
That sounds incredibly crazy to me, and I don't know why.
Well, it's because if you were a proprietor of a tuxedo shop and like 4 18-year-old boys came in, you'd just be like, oh, fuck off. You'd be
yes,
so pissed.
Exactly.
You'd be furious.
Yes. So why?
So, yeah, that's... Yeah, 18-year-olds shouldn't be doing anything that an adult would do.
I don't know if you saw the news. This is actually news as of like this new year in Chicago. You can't be a group of teenagers in Water Tower Mall anymore, which is a famous mall in Chicago. They shot part of the Santa Claus, or Santa Claus's brother, whatever the Vince Vaughn movie was. Fred Claus. I apologize to all my Claus heads out there. Fred Claus was shot at Water Tower. You can't be in that mall if you're a teenager after 4 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays now.
What do you think about that rule?
I think it's great.
All right.
No, I think it's insane. And malls are, in theory, a safe place for kids to be assholes and hang out, and they're taking that away, obviously, for black and brown children. It's not cool, man.
Well, that happened in Kansas City, where the movie theater that I used to go to when I was a kid, when I was like a teenager, they have like curfews and shit and all that now, and it's definitely racially motivated.
Of course, 100%. Of course.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. So, your tuxedo from what is it again? Royal Knights.
Royal Knight.
From Royal Knight.
Which is such a perfect name. It's like exactly what it should be called.
From Royal Knight. Does it fits now, and it shouldn't because you're older.
I should be much fatter.
Yes. Well, not that.
Much.
You should have had a suit that actually fit, but because you're, no offense, you're from the Midwest, you were not fit properly as an 18-year-old boy, and they're like, you'll grow into this.
That's what everything is, yeah.
So now, as a 34-year-old?
Yeah.
As a 34-year-old man, you're wearing your high school tuxedo. Where is the next destination that you will wear this tuxedo?
Well, I think it'll probably be, I'll be wearing it at the debut of my Up Close Magic show.
Come on.
Come on. I can't do magic?
No.
I don't have a fun magic name? Is that why? Why can't I do magic?
That's disrespectful to the magic community.
Why is that? No, it's not. I can do it. I could do magic.
Are you just going to go on stage and go, I can do magic, and then try to do tricks for the first time?
Hey, you front row, what do you think? What number are you thinking of? 8? Yeah, figured. I know magic.
The pompous magician.
Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot. I can figure this out.
So besides the magic castle, where will you be wearing this tuxedo?
I think that's probably it. Or I'll just like strut around Hollywood Boulevard. I think that's a decent option.
What if you just hosted dinner parties and called them tuxedo nights, and you forced everyone to wear their fanciest attire, and then you made very, very low rent food? You made like hot dogs and sloppy joes, foods that are inherently messy.
Yeah, no, it would all be like loose meat sandwiches.
Which is not a thing. Roseanne is alive. It's not a thing.
Now it is, though. Now it is a thing. Roseanne recreated it, and now it's reality.
So, Joe McAdams, loose meat tuxedo nights.
Yeah, loose meat tuxedo party. And it's in it in parentheses, it's not what you're thinking.
Maybe some magic.
Because people
on
would
the
think
side.
It's a sex party. People are like, a loose meat tuxedo party. This certainly sounds like a high society sex party. But no, it's just a loose meat sandwiches.
Oh, what do I need to do to make this happen? What do I need to do to will this into existence?
I don't. That's a great question. I think it would just. It could just happen on its own naturally. I don't think you need to do much. I've got the tuxedo and I know how to make a sloppy Joe.
Okay, cool. Really quick, if you just search vintage cufflinks on eBay right now, I might actually buy a few pair of these. There's a pair of 7-Up cufflinks that I like. I think look great. It comes with a tie clip. It's $7, $3.25 shipping. That's a very reasonable price. I also like this giant lot of 56 pairs of cufflinks for $24. They look to be organized that there's actually two of each, which is kind of important when it comes to cufflinks. And then if you really want to go crazy, Joe, and I know that you do, you can buy a 133-piece vintage lot of cufflinks. You could have a cufflink set for like every third day, which is probably how often you're going to wear your tuxedo in 2019.
That's insane, but you should. You go nuts, or we'll get into a bidding war on eBay. We'll bankrupt each other on cufflinks that would cost like a quarter a piece.
It's gonna be great. Will you please wear the tuxedo like a whole day?
Yeah, I'll wear a tuxedo. I'll do it for a whole day. I don't really go into work, but. I'll just wear it.
Okay. 2019.
I'll document.
Besides the tuxedo, what do you hope happens in 2019?
That's mostly it. I think I'm mostly concerned about wearing a tuxedo every single day this year, and just documenting how fast I can turn the whole tuxedo just brown and stinky.
It's a brown and stinky year for Joe McKenna. Coachella was announced yesterday.
Yeah.
Bonnaroo is announced next week. And the hip-hop side, Broccoli City, is announced next week. Lots of music festivals are being announced right now. We used to care about these things.
I went to a handful back in my day.
When is the last time you cared?
Ooh, I mean, honestly, probably since I was like early college.
Okay, so like a few years after you last wore your tuxedo, that's when you stopped
yes.
caring.
Yeah, I went from tuxedo to like drug rug at Bonnaroo, dude. And man, what a shift.
Well, now you want to get tuxedo brown and stinky, so I feel like you're going back to your college roots.
Well, I'm wedding both of my worlds together. My more formal you know, Royal Knight side, and then my heady grilled cheese sandwich side.
If you do a show with the tuxedo, will you get dressed on stage and bring the tuxedo back out where it clearly says Royal Knights?
There's like just tags on it.
Yeah, there's because I'm assuming it's in like a plastic bag, like a suit bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it's stored in the closet. You hang up the suit on stage. You unzipper it. You take off your clothes. You clearly have on.
There's no zipper. It's all plastic.
Oh, there's not a zipper. It's even better.
there's no zipper.
Oh, how about this? How about you get a real tuxedo bag? You put that over this cheap as fuck bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
And then you unzipper it, and then you as you undress on stage, maybe you have sweats on, maybe you have whatever. You unveil that you have a white undershirt on, and you have classic blue boxer shorts, and then. Socks, but you also have garters for your socks because
the tall socks held up with the stirrups or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you put your tuxedo on; it's clearly ill-fitting, and then you pretend nothing has happened.
Yeah, I could do that.
Cool, thanks.
I can
okay,
do that
so anyways,
for sure.
The
You're welcome. Festivals.
The reason why I wanted to chat about this for a bit is because you're 34 or 36. We have now aged out of music festival season, but I feel like. We're like 5 years away from being aged back into it because when we were early to mid-college age, that's when all of the bands that we never actually saw, but all the bands that influenced all the bands we liked, your Pixies, stuff like that, they were reuniting and headlining these festivals.
Yes.
That has gone away.
Well, okay, so yeah, there was like a wave of those, and then I guess we're waiting on another wave of the reunion bands. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to... It depends. It depends who the reunion bands are. I might be into it.
So let's go through really quickly. Did you actually see any reunion and were pleased with the result?
I guess you could maybe say this counts, but I saw like Black Sabbath play, and I was like, all right, they're not gonna screw up.
Did they screw up?
No, it was fine. It was great. It was like nothing mind blowing, but it was like, all right, that's Black Sabbath.
Okay, fine. I accept that. Who did you see that disappointed?
Ooh, good question. A reunion that was disappointing?
I guess reunion, or maybe just someone that took a lot of time off, because I do want to include solo artists in this as well.
Oh, okay. You know what? This is like the most extreme example was, I never had like seen them prior, but I saw Phish mm-hmm. on their like reunion tour after they had like a few year hiatus or something. Yeah. And it was, I've never seen a worse show.
Really?
It was truly so bad.
Where was the show?
It was like upstate New York. I was just like on a, it was like, I think, right post-college or college-ish, and I was just like driving around the country, and I was like, oh, hey, they're playing, I'll go see a show. And it was so bad.
That's interesting, because isn't that Phish's home base?
I think they're Vermont, yeah, but it's right around there.
So, and aren't they known for being an amazing live band?
Yeah, but here's like, all right, this is, I think it was like within a month or so of their like reunion, and it was like just so sloppy. It was just unbelievably sloppy. And then I remember it was on Father's Day, and the keyboard player brought out his father, who then tap danced for like 5 minutes to one of their songs.
That sounds awesome.
It was though. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Do you think you were what, like 22, 23?
Yeah. Very high on mushrooms. And it was just like, what are you doing? I don't want to see an old man, like he's 70 or something. This is an old, old man tap dancing.
Hold on. But now, looking back, could you agree that that's pretty amazing?
I'm still bitter. I'm still bitter about it.
I would rather tap dancing. I would rather see an old dad tap dancing than most shows now.
Yeah, it's not a bad, you know, I guess I can have enough separation from it to appreciate that now.
When you change into your tuxedo at this show that I'm booking, will you have an old dad tap dance? It doesn't have to be your dad. I would like for you to pretend it is your dad, but it doesn't have to be your dad.
Yeah, no, I don't think my dad can tap dance. I don't know.
It's much better.
Anybody can tap dance.
It's much better if it's an unskilled tap dancing dad.
Yeah, tap dancing and up close magic. I can fake both of those. I'll figure
it
out.
What if the dad is younger than you?
Yeah, and it's played by Bo Burnham. It will be my dad.
Are you bitter towards Bo Burnham?
No, I just thought of the first younger person I could think of.
When you think of the youth, you think of acclaimed director Bo Burnham.
The first person that was like, ah, he's younger than me.
Okay. I wanted to talk about the reunion. Jesus. I wanted to talk about reunion bands because you hosted one of the only music podcasts I've ever listened to and actually enjoyed.
Thank you.
Quite a while with Nick Rowley. In every episode, there'd be a theme of it. And I don't know if you guys ever did a themed show about reunited bands.
I don't know if we did. I think probably not, actually. I don't remember the list. We did maybe like 50-ish episodes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that made it on there.
Well, what was the name of the show?
It's called Revolutions Per Minute.
And hence RPM. It's very easy to remember. It's also easy to have horrible SEO. Good job naming that. And
yep.
Every episode was themed based on the guest.
Yeah, so we would have a guest on the episode to just kind of sit in and chat with us. And then it would be like one of the episodes was just like fat guys in rock and roll, mm-hmm. like the most fun fat guys or the best, you know, rock and roll fat guys. And then or like songs from movies or soundtracks that we really liked or songs about like being in a family or something. I remember we had the Putterbaugh sisters on for family songs. You know, stuff like that.
Well, that's a show I hope comes back one day. Nick currently lives in Chicago. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I live in Los Angeles, so we'll have to like meet. We'll do like reunion episodes in Utah.
I love perfect place for music. I love that idea. I would love to hear an episode all from you guys about bands that you saw that have reunited that actually produced good material. Because I'm working on the pre-show playlist because I'm doing the live show tonight, and I have this like 300 song playlist, give or take, that I've been curating for a decade, right? And I add mm-hmm. stuff and I take away stuff all the time. And the Pixies' Gigantic played for me earlier today, and I took that off today, not because I don't like the song, it's just you can only hear it so many times. And Pixies, I think, ushered in an entire wave, no pun intended, of reunited bands from the Lollapalooza era. And I understand that term doesn't really mean anything, but you kind of know what I mean. And
The 90s.
Yeah, the
90s. The alt scene of the 90s.
So I think that the Pixies reunion was a very good example of every band reunification. A lot of like, yay, this is going to be great, and a lot of, this was perfectly fine, and then here's an album that is not horrible, very far from bad, does not break into their top five in their catalog. A handful of great songs, but for the most part, we didn't need this. Frank Black's solo stuff was incredibly more artistically gratifying than any of the Pixies reunion stuff. But Frank Black does not get paid nearly as much playing solo as the Pixies get paid. So I understand the reasoning behind this, but does it ever actually make sense for a band to reunite? Does it ever actually make sense to put on that high school tuxedo once again?
I think as far as creating new albums and new songs and everything goes, it's always going to disappoint. But as far as a live experience goes, that's fun.
Okay, so you're fine live, you just don't want new.
Well, so I guess I did think of an example that was pretty close to my heart was the Hot Snakes reunited. Okay. And I love that band. They have three perfect albums, and then they had a 14-year break, and then they put out a fourth album. And it's like, it's fine, but it's not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing them live was like, oh, these guys are, they haven't lost a beat, they're great. So it's like, I don't know, I mean, if you know, you can take a break that long and come back with something that is as good or better than what you've done, and maybe you can, but it's like, even in the fans' eyes, it's just like, it's kind of later, I'm different.
Yeah.
Times have changed, whatever.
And I know that we don't need to classify things in terms of genre or put it in boxes, but Here's a thought. What if it was the exact same lineup and they play the exact same songs if they wanted to, but if they wanted to release new stuff, just a new band name?
I mean, yeah, I don't hate that idea.
I don't think that's been done.
I don't think so either. Now I'm kind of curious. I don't think I know an example of that. I'd have to dig a little bit, but I don't think so.
And I understand because Mission of Burma, I think, is the closest example to, it's very similar to the Hot Snakes example, of a band that released a ton of great stuff in a very short amount of time, took a long break and released stuff, but has released just as much stuff as the first run, just as good. But like you said, the 20, 30 year difference, people grow up, people change quite a bit, but they're still playing
both
sides of that
catalog. But the weird thing about the Mission of Burma example is that I missed out on their first run, and then I was like in prime, I'm listening to Mission of Burma mode when their second run started.
Yeah, same.
So those albums hit me in a way that I'm like, oh, those are great.
Same. But I would understand if I was originally, like, if I was 25 years older, I'd be like, this isn't the same. Because it's not. But it's the same players.
But, okay. Here's a band that I think did do it. And maybe, it is that example of, like, I am of the age where it hit at the right time for me. But reunion of the original Dinosaur Jr. Lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Those albums, when they, you know, the original three dudes were back together, those were really, really good.
But that's a debatable reunion because Jay Mascus never really stopped, and then there was a different bassist for a handful. My favorite Dinosaur Jr. song does not have their original bassist on it. You know, Lou Barlow is not on Feel the Pain.
Yeah.
And I think that's their pinnacle. So that's an odd example because that band never stopped.
Yeah, I guess they didn't technically like dissolve the band. I mean, yeah, they kept going with the name, but it is a different feel. Once
sure.
like Beyond came out, it's like, okay, this is a different vibe now.
Yes.
But so I don't know. I think I guess it's maybe a different. We could subcategorize these things, but I think that those were good albums, and they still are good live.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. I'm the asshole music critic guy that likes the solo stuff of Jay Maskus. I like Jay Maskus on an acoustic guitar these days. I think he's doing really cool stuff.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. You should get him on the show.
No, I'm good. I don't really. I don't think he owns a tuxedo, let alone.
Yeah, I know. There's one rule for this show, and I knew that going in, is that you must own a tuxedo.
Feel like we're treading on John Hodgman territory now. is there anyone you'd actually like to see reunited that's not just playing the hits?
Nothing's like springing to mind. Not really.
I have one, and it's
who do you got?
The White Stripes.
Okay, I mean, you don't think that would be like a? I feel like Jack White very vocally was like, if we reunite, it's going to be sad.
he said a lot of things, and he's produced yeah. a lot of music since then. But I recently went back and listened to the entire catalog from start to finish, and he needs
That's great.
Real bad.
Yeah, right? Oh, I agree. I much prefer the White Stripes stuff. But I mean, I get what, you know, you can get a little tired of a very limited format like that. But from the fans' perspective, I think that's better, but
it's
whatever.
It's not even a you're not going to put on a Jack White record ever.
No, probably not.
But you might put on a White Stripes record.
Yeah, I still listen to a handful of White Stripes songs, and we'll throw on a CD in the car every once in a while.
And there's a reason for that, and that's because of the limitations. I kind of am getting to the point where everything ever needs a reason. Everything needs limitations. You need to put things in a box to create things that don't suck. And if you get to play with everything, it's going to be bad. If you get to bring on your 70-year-old tap dancing dad, well, in theory, that sounds amazing. Like you said, it's not necessarily a good
yeah.
thing.
Well, that's, yeah, no, I'm firmly in the same camp as you with that. And that's why I think I like, you know, like John Carpenter movies, or, you know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, he's making Halloween and they ran out of music budget. Mm-hmm. So he had to write the song and record
yeah.
it himself. And it's the best horror movie song of all time. Like, that's how great things happen.
So what we need to do is take away everything from everyone, and then we will divvy it up as we see fit.
Yes. Thank you. That's all I've been saying.
Thanks for having some tuxedo talk with me.
Absolutely. I could talk tux all day long.